Okay, Craig, do I take the attendance such as it is?
Yeah, well, what I have is Paul Zarembka, Barbara Honegger, Keith, or sorry, sorry, Ken Freeland, and Craig McKee. That's it.
Record low turnout. We only have four of us on the call. This is definitely an all-time low. Well, let's proceed. The first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the previous meeting. Since we don't have any quorum requirements, we can just go ahead and with that, if there's no objection, then we'll move on to tonight's agenda, which only has one item, which we probably won't be able to take because I don't see that Laura Cadelman has shown up for the second month in a row after promising to do so. So I guess we'll have to skip that item. Does anybody want to add anything to the agenda?
May I ask about Laura? Is it worth giving her a call, going offline and giving her a call?
Do you have her number?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
Her number is in our minutes from 2 months ago.
I don't have it handy. This is just pretty typical. I think 3 months out of four that she promised to be here, she didn't show, so I guess we just have to accept that. Okay, anything to add to the agenda?
If I could ask a question, what we already know from what Laura said, I'm not sure exactly who told me this the other day, but it might have been one of you, it could have been you, Ken, that the big event that Architects and Engineers is putting on is I believe, a 50-foot by 60-foot advertisement in Times Square in New York City?
Yeah, but that's not what she was here to discuss. Supposed to discuss. She was supposed to discuss our concerns about the inclusion or non-inclusion of Nation of Islam in that project, okay? That's what her topic was supposed to be addressing. So unless anybody has any information about that, well, in fact, I do, so we can go ahead and take that item up and when it comes up, but, you know, it'll just be brief. I'll just let you know what I've heard through other sources.
I have a phone number. I just looked up in the April 20th minutes. You want the phone number or April 20th email?
If somebody wants to get off the call and call her, that's fine. You know, she's more than welcome to come on the call like she promised, so we could definitely encourage that. But I'm not going to get off the call to call her. I don't think it's that important.
What's the number?
401.
Uh-huh.
578-5505.
Was that 578-5505?
Yes.
Okay. If you want, I can get off the call and give a quick call and come back on.
If you'd like to.
Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. Don't.
Before you do that, Barbara, do you want to put on the agenda tonight then a discussion of the upcoming Washington conference and so forth?
Well, it will be very brief, and I'm not at liberty to give too much information because the bottom line is we're inviting speakers, and I think they probably don't want the proposed speaker list out before we know whether people have agreed to it or not. But I could give you an overview, yes.
Yeah, that would be great. Okay, so we'll put that on the agenda once you get back. And
I'll do this real quick. Okay, bye.
Go ahead and call. Yeah.
Wait, before I get off, just give me the number for her to call again. It's
401-5.
No, I mean on this call. I may have to
give it to her. I can give it to you, Barbara. It's 218.
218.
895.
895.
6835.
Yeah, and I've got the code number. Okay. All right. I'll be right back.
Okay. Anybody else want to add anything to the agenda since we have so much space on it tonight? Well, if not, then I guess we'll go ahead and take the draft agenda as settled along with the amendment of the Washington Conference discussion, and all these items will need to wait until Barbara returns so we can just have informal discussion until she gets back.
Actually, since we were mentioning some interesting new things that have come out, I wonder if anybody has seen Dave McGowan's series of articles about the Boston bombing.
Dave who?
No.
You know Dave McKeon? He's a really, I really like him. He did a whole series on the moon landing, the Apollo mission. Very exhaustive kind of analysis of it, and basically his position is that they never took place. But he did a whole series now on the Boston bombing where he goes over all the photographs and sort of basically, you know, makes the case that the whole thing, that, you know, the victims were actually actors. And he sort of started with the position that, you know, it was a combination, that maybe some actors, that some real victims, but after going over, you know, I guess hundreds of photographs or whatever, he changed his view, and now he thinks that the whole thing is... So anyway, I think it's a very interesting read. It's like a very, very thorough job that he did.
Well, it's a matter of record, for 10 points in the game, do you know how long the dress rehearsal, as a matter of record, lasted before the moon excursion? The official dress rehearsal? Hello?
Craig, are you still there? Sounds like we lost Craig.
Yeah, I think I almost lost myself here. I think we had a little bounce session there. This is Ken. Who else is on the call?
Paul.
Just you and I are left on the call, Paul. The others?
Someone else just came back on.
Okay.
That's me coming back on.
Okay.
I just connected myself by accident.
Well, no, there was a bounce there. I got temporarily bounced too, but then I came right back on.
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, Barbara. Well, we're waiting for you. But by the way, I was asking we were just having a discussion about this article about the moon thing. Does anybody know how long the official dress rehearsal lasted right before the Apollo 11 mission?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear that for some reason.
It's just a trivia question. How many days did the official dress rehearsal last before the Apollo moon landing?
Oh, the Apollo moon landing. I don't know what you mean by that question, dress rehearsal. I don't know what you mean.
Well, that's what it was called. It lasted 8 days prior to the actual takeoff of Apollo 11. Kind of interesting point there. Okay, so do you want to reference that article again for Barbara's benefit? Hey, Craig, since you wasn't able to talk about
it. Sure, yeah. I was just mentioning when you were off the call, very interesting series of articles by a writer named Dave McGowan. I don't know if you know him or not, but he previously has written a couple of different investigative series, one of them on the Apollo mission, and his most recent one is about the Boston bombing, where he goes over all the photographic evidence in detail and concludes that none of the victims were real. But it's a very interesting read. Anyway, he's got a very dry wit, so in fact, he actually can be quite funny as well as being very interesting to read. I was just bringing that up for
people. It would be great to send those links. I'd like to read them. I don't believe I read particular ones. The danger of us going public with something like that is, you know, I've also read articles, more mainstream articles, that there are X number of people who died in the hospital, and X number of people who are maimed in the hospital. So, it's a very difficult edge that we have to walk in terms of public opinion. We have to be absolutely certain of these things.
Yeah.
Well, Craig, why don't you just as a matter of tangential interest, why don't you just list the URLs in the minutes, okay, for others to take a look at?
Sure.
Oh, by the way, I do have something really important to add to that Apollo dress rehearsal, the Apollo program. We've never discussed this before on this call because it's been focused on 9/11, but since you brought it up, there's a fascinating synchronicity. And that is that there is a professor, he is an impact geologist expert, PhD. His name is David, I'm going to slip my mind for a moment, it'll come back to me. David Griscom, G-R-I-S-C-O-M. And I've been interacting with him at great length in the last 2 weeks. I was interacting with him with John Duddy of the 9/11 Truth Group in Calgary, Canada, because John was recently in Mexico for an extended period of time. He just got back to Calgary. But while he was there, he met with Professor Griscom. And it just happened to come out on this link, or this thread, that the three of us were having over the past 2 weeks on an entirely different 9/11 matter, which didn't go anywhere, by the way, so it's irrelevant. I learned that David Griscom was either the main geologist or one of the main geologists who were given the 800 and some moon rocks that were brought back from the moon. So he is like one of the world's, and it's published widely on this, so he's one of the world's experts on these lunar rock samples, which is, when people say we didn't go to the moon, one of my major responses is, well, how did we get those 840 pounds of moon rocks that Professor Griscom has been analyzing all this time? So anyway, and I've also interviewed many at the Naval Postgraduate School. I've personally interviewed on videotape for hours many of the astronauts, including moonwalking astronauts. And if I had to stake my life on it, I would probably say we definitely went to the moon.
Well, just as a matter of curiosity, Barbara, what signifies moon rocks as being distinct from any other kinds of rocks? What's the answer to that question?
You know, you will have to read.
How would one know, looking at a rock, that it was from the moon rather than somewhere else?
It's been too long since I read it, and I don't want to talk out of school. I'm not an expert on it, but Professor Griscom is. So I would just refer you to his work. It's David, G-R-I-S-C-O-M, David Griscom.
Okay, I would make one small point, though, that you can actually find moon rocks on the Earth.
That is true.
Because when there are impacts with moon of meteorites or whatever, or small bodies, very often, rocks are blown off and they end up on the Earth. In fact, Antarctica is known as the place where many moon rocks can be found. So. It
yes,
is possible
that is true, and there's even a book called Splat, which makes a very good case, based upon a blind voting after looking at the evidence by a large number of experts in the field, that the Earth itself, that the moon actually was originally part of the Earth. So yes, there are all of these other comments that can be made. But I just would refer you. I just wanted to point out that a 9/11 truther also happened to be one of the top scientists, if not the top geologist. He is an impact geologist specialist. In other words, he is an expert on proving from the material in the stone itself whether or not it is from an impact crater. Whether it's on the moon or
any of his work
Earth.
Online, Barbara?
I'm sorry?
Sorry, I just said, is any of his work can be found online or just in books?
I don't know. I'm telling you everything I know. I just learned through this thread that he is one of the people that NASA gave these moon rocks to analyze.
Oh.
Okay.
Well, that is certainly a coincidence. Well, let's get back to our agenda, such as it is, and what did you learn from Laura Cadelman, Barbara?
She didn't answer, but I left a message. I let her know that we would hope that she would call in and that the call wouldn't last as long as normal, and so it would be great if she could call in the next half an hour, 45 minutes.
Okay. Well, thank you for doing that. Okay. I'll go ahead and just let you all know what I've learned in the meantime. Dan Barnum is a member of the board of AE 9/11 Truth, and he's also a member of Houston 9/11 Truth. And he revealed to us that actually, Nation of Islam has more or less withdrawn its support for Operation Tip the Planet, which makes it a moot question. However, they are going to permit Richard Gates to speak at the Million Man March when that takes place, so that's kind of interesting. So that's all that I know other than what we've learned from previously from Laura Kateman.
I have heard something else about that Richard Gage has not decided whether to speak, that he's decided that he would want to speak if it turns out to be a major event.
Okay. Okay. So moving right along, let's go ahead and give Barbara the floor here to talk about the upcoming Washington 9/11 conference. Go ahead, Barbara.
Okay. Is that the next thing on the agenda?
Yeah. We don't have anything else on the agenda tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, what you could do is probably ask me questions.
Well, why don't you give us an overview, though, of progress and, you know, just what you do know that you can talk about, like where, you know, how much the cost, you know, number of people expected, that sort of thing. And
right. Right. Well, we don't, hold on, I'm trying to, give me a moment to go to my computer and get the information. It's going to take me just a second to pull it up. And while I'm doing that, I'll give you an overview. It's, of course, going to be 2 days, and it's going to be the weekend following the anniversary, so it's the 14th and the 15th, as you probably already know. And the I'm going to give you the general, if you'll let me go off the phone a moment, I'm going to get the agenda, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll be right back.
Any other comments about the movie? Never mind. Welcome back.
About the moon rocks? Hey, you guys are making fun of me when I'm off the
track. We were just looking for a little filler there, but go ahead.
You guys are making fun of me when I'm not on this call. Okay.
No, what we're making fun of is the fact that it's pretty tangential to 9/11, okay? We don't usually talk about those sorts of things on this call. That's,
well, I know. I'm not the one who brought it up. I thought you guys would be interested that Professor Griscom is a 911, serious 911 truth person who also was given the moon rocks. I just think that's a fascinating synchronicity.
It is interesting. It is.
And it's my fault for bringing up the moon thing.
Yeah, really?
Yes, Craig, it is your fault. Don't go stand in the corner, Craig. Okay.
Okay, so we do have a definite title, and that was for the overall conference, and that was a huge process. I mean, we must have considered 30 or more titles, and different people had different problems with different ones, and we finally, everybody could agree on 9/11: advancing the truth. Everybody wanted something forward, very positive, forward reaching. So many people liked 9/11 March for Truth or something like that to tie in with the march on Wednesday before, the presumably, you know, march against fear. But other people didn't want the tie-in with the march. There's evidently, there are strong pros and cons within the movement as to whether to link up with the march. So it's going to be called 9/11: Advancing the Truth, which I actually do like. I voted for that as well. All right, so the major themes have now been settled. And I can tell you I can tell you the speakers who have for sure agreed, and I really shouldn't probably mention the others, but they're all really strong speakers. If we get even two-thirds, half to two-thirds of the people who have been invited. It will be an incredibly historic conference. Okay, so the first day is Saturday the 14th, and the morning theme is what we have learned, and Richard Gage is the first speaker at 9 o'clock. He starts off the conference. He's agreed to do it. He'll be in the area anyway, of course. We are going to be giving a special recognition, a plaque, to architects and engineers and to the hopefully 2,000 by then petition signers of licensed architects and engineers, thanking them all for signing the petition and looking forward to more signatures. So that's the first thing in the morning for only a half an hour. And then at 9:30, Matt Sullivan of DC 9/11 Truth is the moderator, and it's a session, quite an extended session for 2 hours called Manufacturing Terrorism, Then and Now. Webster Tarpley has agreed, and Matt Sullivan will be the moderator, and there are four other speakers who are being invited, and I know that one of them, I know Kevin Barrett is going to say yes. We're asking him to speak on the history of FBI entrapment. Oh, somebody else is on the call.
No, somebody lost somebody.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's also boring, I guess.
Do you ever dwindling numbers of this week's call?
No, that's Greg just dropping his phone again.
Who's still on, by the way?
Paul, Ken, and you, I guess we lost Craig momentarily. I'm sure he'll be back.
We just lost Craig. Okay. Then at 11:30 is the anthrax attacks, and Barry Kissin, who is brilliant. He is, in my opinion, the world's foremost authority who's willing to talk and is not on the inside and, you know, has been threatened or whatever. Is that Craig?
Yeah, that's me coming back. I touch my phone to my ear, and it seems to disconnect, so it's really annoying, but I've done it twice tonight.
Okay.
That's a very dysfunctional phone if it disconnects when you put it to your ear.
Really?
Where else am I supposed to put it, yeah.
It defeats the purpose of a telephone.
If I put it on my knee, it would be fine, yeah.
Oh, God. So I'm not sure what you heard, Craig, but you may have heard 9:30 is on the first day, Saturday, is Manufacturing Terrorism, Then and Now. With Matt Sullivan of DC 9/11 Truth as the moderator, Webster Tarpley on the history of false flag terrorism, including, of course, 9/11, Kevin Barrett on the history of FBI entrapment, and three other invitees who I'm not at liberty to mention, but they're extremely strong. I mean, even if one of the two others came, I would want to go to a conference just to hear that person. So hopefully we'll have all four speakers for that session. It goes from 2 hours from 9:30 to 11:30. And then at 11:30, the anthrax attacks with Barry Kissin, who Graham McQueen are the strongest in the world on the anthrax attacks. I was hoping Graham McQueen would be invited, but they just don't. He would be if we get the budget, but we only have $3,000 right now, and so they're having to reach out to people who will either be in the area anyway from out of the area or are in the general area of Washington, D.C. So Barry Kissin is next door, and he lives near Fort Detrick. So Barry Kissin will be speaking for 45 minutes on the anthrax attacks and their links to 9/11. And, of course, his expertise is proving that they were, in fact, high-grade military anthrax, and the results of his investigations as to what the true source had to have been. And then there's lunch. The afternoon is called Breaking. I have to scroll down. I'll be right back. The afternoon begins at 1:30, and it's Breaking New Ground. And at 1:30, it starts up with an address or, you know, a presentation by Abby Martin of Russia Today Television. But it actually starts out with two special recognition awards, like we started out the morning with a special recognition award to architects and engineers, and there are almost 2,000 petition signers. And then the special recognition awards in the afternoon are to Russia Today and Abby Martin of Breaking the Set and to Denver Public PBS Television for breaking the sound barrier in the United States.
Hear, hear.
And I don't know if you all know this. Are you aware that Susan Lindauer did a extended hours interview with Russia Today television, and it's been put on in a 6-part series, both in Russia and throughout the Middle East in Arabic? Did you know that?
No,
no.
Unfortunately, I don't speak Russian or Arabic, so I don't know how we can watch it. If you know Russian or Arabic, you could ask Susan for how to, or ask Russia Today for how to watch it.
They're not showing it in English?
To my knowledge, no. I've asked Susan that question 3 times, and I haven't gotten an answer back. But the last time I asked her that question, she was very snippy and sent me back an email saying, "Barbara, are you that stupid?" And that was all she said.
Oh, dear.
So,
well,
I think
what that might imply is that the voice is going to be English, but, you know, everything else is going to be Cyrillic. So, because that would be the opposite if we were doing it as somebody speaking a foreign language in English on the news. You would hear the foreign language, but we'd see our own translation on the bio.
Or we hear a voiceover,
but we'd still hear the foreign language, and that it, so I think it might be the same case. I don't know.
It could be, but I couldn't give a straight answer, officer, just so that you know. So I don't have the answer for you. But I did ask her if it was available in English, and did not get the straight answer. So. Okay, so we're asking Abby Martin to mention the Lindauer sequence. So that's from 1:30 to 2 o'clock. So that's Abby Martin, like Richard Gage in the morning, is special recognition and speaking for half an hour. And then at 2 o'clock, it's basically who did it. The title is Motive, Men, and Means, : Follow the Money and Other Fingerprints. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 invited speakers that I can't really mention, but I can tell you that, because we don't have an answer back yet, but I can tell you that if even one of them came, I would want to be there for the whole conference for that one. So that would be a very strong session, and that goes from 2 o'clock to 5:15. It's basically the entire afternoon, except for the first half hour. So that's that one. Okay.
What was that title again, Barbara?
Oh, you mean of the Motive, Men, and Means, : Follow the Money, and Other Fingerprints.
Okay, thank you.
And they haven't, depending upon who hopefully says yes, they haven't decided whether they want to have it a panel or individual presentations and then a panel. Probably the latter. There are so many invited speakers. If they get anywhere close to all of them, they'd probably have maybe 20 minutes each and then a panel, and then Q&A, something like that. Okay. The content, just so you know, would include, by the way, this is important. There will be a number of speakers who are invited anyway on the JFK assassination because of the 50th anniversary. Yeah. So under Motive, Men, and Means, there is at least one person who's been invited who we would hope would speak to the JFK assassination, and basically that the official story is always a lie, no matter which one of these horrible events it is. So, okay, and then Sunday, okay, hold on. So that's Saturday. All right, moving, let me scroll down. All right, Sunday. Sunday in the morning. By the way, they've decided both days, especially Sunday, to start at, God help me, 8 a.m. in the morning. I'm not a morning person. But what they want to do is open the room, and it is rather exciting. They've booked, it's called the Pentagon One Room, and that's on the 15th floor of the Sheraton, which has a big plate glass window, I'm told, that looks down over the west face of the Pentagon as the backdrop for the speakers on this conference. which is just couldn't be better.
Right.
However, go ahead. Have a question? Was there a question?
Mm-hmm. I'll
no? Okay. Okay. And if now that room only holds 75, and that includes all the speakers and all of the staff, and so, you know, maybe 55 paying attendees. So at only 55 paying attendees, hopefully with the early birds, the early bird ticket sales, which we don't have a website yet, but we will in the near future, according to the last planning call. Hopefully in about 10 days we'll have a website where people can actually purchase early bird tickets for a considerable discount. And depending upon how many of those we get by, say, August, August 1st or about thereabouts, we may have to have one of the rooms on the first floor and give up the view of the Pentagon out the window. So it's a trade-off.
You said only,
so that's the venue.
Barbara, you said only 75 people?
It's that room, the room, they don't have very much budget. They have about $3,000. And so for $3,000, they can afford a room that seats 75. But they're doing early bird ticket sales, which, of course, will increase the amount of money that they have. And if the early birds look like they're going to have more than 55 paying attendees, they're going to have to hold it in one of the larger regular rooms, conference rooms on the main floor anyway, that would hold up to 250.
Do you have a ballpark estimate of the cost of those early bird tickets?
No, I don't. I honestly don't. I've only been on these calls recently, but I believe that I heard, because they have not decided on the amount yet. They're still trying to work that out, because I was able to get them $2,000 worth of funding from John Getty up in Canada, and that made a big difference to them. But so they had $1,000, and now they have $3,000. But still, that's barely enough to put on the conference in the room with 75. So if they only have enough people to fill the 75 rooms, they're in a kind of a catch-22. Their tickets have to be more expensive. If their early bird sales are such that it's clear that they can go to the larger room also costs more. So there are trade-offs. But I would imagine they were originally talking about having tickets for the 2 days cost $250, and many have said that's way too much. So because of that, I went out and found them $2,000. So hopefully now they're thinking, this is all basically George Ripley and Matt and Elaine Sullivan are working out, and Sue Wheaton are working out the ticket sale ballpark price. And I don't know the answer to your question. But presumably because I got them some outside funding with no strings attached, that they're going to be able to come down on that ticket price. But I really don't know what it is yet. What do you think? You know, it would help to know what you guys think is a reasonable ticket price.
Well, I would think for the entire conference, $100 would probably be about as far as you want to go.
That's about what I had in my head also.
Yeah. Actually.
Well, they're not going to be able to do the conference for that, I don't think, if they stay in the if they don't have early bird sales. But I will pass that on to them. So $50 per day, because they're going to give people the option of coming just for one day or for the whole conference. And there aren't any banquets. There aren't any. Everybody has to cover their own meals. They do have a block of rooms for.
Barbara, let me interrupt you. I would suggest that if you do it that way, you charge more than half for a single day, and then $100 for the total. So maybe like $60 or something like that, $65 for one day, or $100 for both days.
Mm-hmm. I'll pass. That's a good idea to charge more. I do not have any control over the price of the tickets. That's basically Sue Wheaton and the Sullivans, with some input from George Ripley. George Ripley has, in email threads with me, has referred to, without saying who they are, the powers that be who are putting on the conference, and I don't know who he means. But it's apparent that he doesn't think he's one of them. So I'm pretty sure that you'll be disappointed that the ticket price will be higher than that. But we'll see. I mean, I will pass on what you said. I will. Okay, so any other questions at this point before I get on to Sunday?
No?
Okay. You guys can say no. I don't know who's still there. Okay. I just want to make sure I'm not talking to a wall here. Okay. All right, so Sunday. It's at 8 o'clock. They're going to open the room. And I got off on a discussion of venue because it says in our draft program here, it says that they will open the Pentagon One Room, which is on the 15th floor. The one that can seat 75 people maximum. But anyway, whatever room it is, they plan to open it at 8 o'clock for coffee, networking, videos, basically the exhibit tables, that kind of thing. And they also want to, they're deciding what short videos to show for people who want to watch a video, video clips. And then at 9:30 on Sunday morning, they're planning a debate format, understanding the Pentagon attack. I have been invited to, give my position on the Pentagon attack. So, was that someone coming in?
That's probably Craig falling out again.
Oh, no. That is funny. It probably is. Anyway, I've been invited to be one of the three speakers and or debaters, and it will be a formal debate format. It will be 20 minutes opening, 10-minute rebuttal, and 10-minute cross-rebuttal, and then a panel discussion and opening up for questions and answers to the three different position speakers on a panel. I frankly do not know who they're inviting for the other positions. I do not know.
Well, what are the other positions going to be, though?
Well, they're trying to work that out, too. And it's the powers that be, whoever those are. I guess that's Matt Sullivan and Sue Wheaton. But I have been invited to give my position on the Pentagon. And they want someone to essentially represent the official story. And you can imagine they're having trouble getting someone to do that. but they also – go ahead, sorry.
Not very popular anymore, so probably hard to find somebody that will defend it.
Well, they were considering asking Duane Dietz, who, to my shock and surprise, I've been to his blog site recently, and he's actually supporting basically the official story now, which is
that's
complete
a good point.
And total.
You're right. Yep.
Yeah. So I don't know if Duane will be able to come. I hope so. I like Duane, and that would be a good event. And then, of course, the Citizens Investigation Team position. And I don't know who they've invited or if they have invited anyone yet for that. So it would be myself and Fit and the official story. Now, if I understand it, the official story position, they're not necessarily insisting that whoever supports the official story position has to be someone who says that it was Flight 77 per se that hit the building, but just that a large airliner, I suppose, hit the building, which I think is Duane Dietz's position. He's not insisting it's Flight 77, just like Hoffman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's going to be, is Craig back?
Yeah, I disappeared for a moment again for some reason I can't figure out, and I'm back.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you heard that, but the Pentagon session, which is 3 hours on Sunday morning, is in a formal debate format. 20 minutes opening statements by the three positions that they've selected, 10-minute rebuttal, 10-minute cross-rebuttal, and then a whole hour for all three position speakers at a panel with Q's and A's from the audience and from the moderator. So it's a good format. A good format, and everybody will be kept to their time limit. Okay, so then there's lunch, and then in the afternoon, the afternoon gets really interesting. The afternoon is, and this is the last day, so it's the last part of the conference, the last quarter of the conference. The first afternoon theme, which starts at 1:45, is unexplored aspects and consequences of the 9/11 official lie. And the first group of speakers, and I don't know who they are, but they're being invited by someone who has someone in mind. It's called the Shanksville, Pennsylvania Puzzle. And what they're hoping is that there will be reports from Shanksville residents themselves. George Ripley has been interviewing some of these, or has seen them interviewed, and thought that it would be a good idea, and we all agreed. That if they would come to have the results of citizens investigators who are Shanksville residents themselves. So assuming that happens and we get a yes from at least one of them, it would be from 1:45 to about 2:30 or 2:45. And then the final session of the conference is at 2:45 to 5 o'clock, and it's called Consequences of the 9/11 Official Lie.
I thought
and
that was the last one.
Well, okay, what they do is they have a theme for the whole afternoon, then they divide it into sub-themes. So the theme for the whole afternoon is unexplored aspects and consequences of the official 9/11 lie, which covers both afternoon sessions. And then the 1:45 session is a panel discussion on the Shanksville, Pennsylvania puzzle under that. And then the second session, the last one in the afternoon, is explicitly consequences of the official 9/11 lie. So the unexplored aspects is Shanksville, and the consequences of the 9/11 lie is the last one. Okay? And,
Well, what is that last part, though?
Well, consequences of the 9/11 lie starts at 2:45 and goes to about 5 o'clock. We have the room until about 5:30. And I wish I could tell you who we're inviting. I can't.
Well, can you tell us what theme they will be helpfully exploring?
Let's see here. Yes. My mistake. I hadn't scrolled down far enough. That session that I just mentioned, Consequences of the 9/11 Lie, that actually is only an hour from 2:45 to 3:45. I was mistaken. There is a final panel, which is from 3:45 to 5, and that's titled From JFK to MLK to RFK to 9/11, : The Official Story is Always a Lie. And three speakers are being proposed to be invited, and again, if only one of them came, I would want to come to the whole conference just for that speaker.
I hope Jim Douglas is one of those.
Who?
Jim Douglas, the guy that wrote the book.
But I don't know who he is. Who is Jim Douglas?
He's the guy that wrote the fantastic book on JFK's assassination. Is working on MLK. Is supportive of us on 9/11. Let me get you the title: JFK and the Unspeakable.
Oh yes, I know about that book. Yes, it's an incredible book.
Yeah.
He is not one of the invited speakers, but the next time we go on, I'm not at liberty. I don't think it would be right to give the names when they haven't even been invited yet, probably. But if the person who is invited to speak on this agrees to come, I know that you would be pleased. I know you would. Jim Douglas would be an excellent person to come as well, or in lieu of that person, definitely. Yes, the JFK the Unspeakable is incredible.
I wonder also about William Pepper would be an ideal one for MLK, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Well, you guys are trying to get me to tell you who we're inviting, and I can't. but let me just tell you, that's a good guess. That's a good guess, okay? That's all I can say.
Oh, okay.
Barbara, can you give us a little more details about that second afternoon session? I mean, what the theme is going to be for that?
Okay, hold on. Let me scroll back up. Well, it's consequences of the 9/11 official lie. And, you know, it's the three people who were invited. So I really can't tell you more. You would definitely want to come to the whole conference if any one of the three were a speaker.
Well, sure, but I'm just not asking about who. I'm just asking about the theme. What is the theme for the consequences? What subject matter will be talked about?
Well, that's up to the speakers. That would be up to the speakers. But even though we decided we weren't going to invite him, or actually we wanted to, I can give you an example. We wanted to invite Paul Craig Roberts. But someone contacted him, and he just didn't want to do public speaking ever again. He wants to just focus writing. So that gives you an example.
If I may interject here, he certainly is doing an outstanding job of the writing, so maybe he ought to stick with that.
Yeah, maybe he ought to stick with that, right. So that gives you an example. And just so that you know, the other two possible speakers, and we don't even know if they will have that session if they can't come. But the other speakers are definitely at that level. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So that's about it, except for, okay. I think this is important. After the final from JFK to MLK to RFK to 9/11, the official story is always a lie, after that session, and I can tell you that William Tepper was a good guest. Okay, that's all I'm going to say. But that would be just one of three people being invited to that session from 3:45 to 5. And then at 5, closing the conference, what they're proposing is, over the period of the conference, I'm not really sure what the process would be. They haven't either thought that out or shared it with the conference call yet. But the idea is, during the conference, as it goes along, somebody, probably Matt Sullivan would be my guess, will be keeping copious notes and coming up with proposed consensus statements that could come out of the conference. In other words, we want to have some kind of a consensus statement and the way forward if we can.
It would be amazing if a consensus statement could come out of your debate, wouldn't it?
Yes, it is. And you know, just
that would settle a whole lot of hash.
I'm going into that debate with a proposed way to solve the consensus problem across all three of the speakers. So I'm going to be doing my personal best to propose a consensus solution. But, you guys are going to have to come to the conference to find out what it is.
Could I add a comment about Jim Douglas? He sat in the entire MLK trial that Pepper was running, so he knows that trial very, very well also. So he's an expert.
Well, that's
not only
good. That's excellent. Yeah. What I can do immediately is to, I think he would be an excellent choice. And if Pepper, for any reason, cannot come or isn't willing to come, even right now, I can propose him as the ideal backup speaker for that reason and others.
Yeah.
Sure.
Actually, a good backup to that backup, I don't know if he's still sort of active or not, but Mark Lane, I don't know if anybody follows his writing about JFK.
Yes, Mark Lane was discussed, and for some reason they really preferred Pepper. Just so you know, I have not been an active participant in these calls. They asked me, it felt very awkward to me because I was an invited speaker. And I didn't like the feel of having two hats. But they wanted me on the call because I was really trying to get them funding, which I was able to do. So they were being nice to let me listen to their calls, basically. So I'm not really an active decision maker like the others are, but for instance, I did make proposals that they like, and they do listen to them. So it was my proposal to invite Barry on the anthrax attack. Okay, so that's about it. questions?
Barbara, I certainly want to thank you for shedding so much light on this mystery topic, and I think it's probably a subject that would be of most interest to any of us on the call tonight, so thank you for doing that. I have a question, if I may, about logistics. This has to do with the question of the price of the conference, you know, the cost of the early bird tickets and so forth, but how many meals are included there? I know you're talking about, like, lunch and so forth and so on. So that ticket price is going to include some food or no?
No food whatsoever. They don't have the funds. And amazingly,
okay. You
know, like most of these big hotels, the hotels will not allow you to bring in food. You have to go to their restaurants
right.
if you're going to eat or drink
right.
anything, which is reasonable. Their restaurant is a good
yeah.
restaurant, and it's reasonable for lunch. However, you can get a box lunch, but and we looked into that. They cost $35 a piece for a friggin' box.
Oh, my God.
It was ridiculous, and it cost thousands of dollars for them to put on a luncheon for us. There was no way we could afford it. So the bottom
yeah.
line is we have an hour and 15 minutes for lunch. They are going to make arrangements with the restaurant, which can seat 100. That there would be a special area set aside for a minimum number of people from the conference. And we'll know how many people we're going to have as we get closer. And also there is an Ethiopian restaurant. There's only one restaurant close to the Sheraton, and that's a delicious Ethiopian restaurant. It can seat about 75 people, and they highly recommend you just walk across the street and go to that. So, and that's very reasonable.
Okay.
And, you know, I would imagine that if somebody couldn't afford the hotel, that, you know, there you could get in touch with Matt or George Ripley and they put you up, that kind of thing. I think we just lost Craig.
Probably.
And anyway, no food, but there are reasonable eating opportunities. What they don't allow you to do is, if they catch you, is to come in with a sack lunch.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, but that's common in these hotels. Common. Okay, so that's everything I think I know that I can share with you. But if
okay.
there's something else you'd like me to take back to the next call, I'm going to be taking back the proposal of Jim Douglas as a backup for mm-hmm. the person you guessed, and. And then the issue of the ticket prices that you would hope that they would be $60 for one day and $100 max for the 2 days. I just know they're not going to be able to do it for that little, I don't believe. But they certainly need to come down from where they thought they needed to be.
Okay. Any other questions and comments for me?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
One thing I wanted to know is it possible to, basically the details that you gave us, is it possible to get that in an email? I know you can't include the unconfirmed speakers, but is there any way just to make sure that that all my notes are correct?
You said there was going to be a website coming up in about 10 days, right?
Yeah, there will be a website.
I was wondering if I could, get that before then.
I don't think that I could do that, but what I can do is I can let people know that you would like it
and
see if Sue Wheaton is willing to send you what she can.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm happy to do that because I'm going to get to them anyway with your proposal of Jim Douglas
If you don't get an affirmative on that, Barbara, could you get the URL for the upcoming website for Craig to include in the minutes so people can go there and find out the information?
Yeah, as soon as I have it. I have no idea when that's going to happen, but
right.
I will ask. Sue Wheaton
okay.
is going on an extended vacation. She's based, this person, Sue Wheaton, is very good. They're lucky to have her. She is kind of a take-charge person who works with Matt Sullivan, and she's a longtime part of the DC 9/11 group with George Ripley and the Sullivans, and she's basically doing all of the administrative and emails and threads and minutes and program versions and all of that. It's a big job. And she is the person who will know first about the website. So I will ask her, and as soon as I get an answer, which I'm sure I will let you know.
Great. Thank you.
What I'll do is I'll send it to you, Ken, and then you can send it out.
Okay, that's fine. Thank you. Any other questions or comments regarding the Washington conference?
Quick one. Is it DC 9/11 Truth that's actually organizing it, or are they just sort of part of the organizing group?
Well, it's basically DC 9/11 Truth conference, okay? But it's broader than that. My understanding is that the idea for doing a conference in Washington, D.C. is a combination of the Boston 9/11 group and the Connecticut 9/11 group. Cheryl Curtis, Frank Palopko, Susan Serpa, that group up there. However, they couldn't do it on their own. They had the idea, but if it was going to happen, the D.C. 9/11 Truth group had to do it. And so it's a combination. Sponsors are Connecticut 9/11 Truth, as I recall, Boston 9/11 Truth. I know Connecticut 9/11 Truth. I don't know if Boston is on the invitation letter or not. I think it is, but I'm not sure. I know Connecticut 9/11 Truth is, and my group, Monterey, California 9/11 Truth, is an official sponsor. Oh, this is important. This is important. Very important. They are looking for other official sponsors, 9/11 Truth groups. So if your group that you are associated with is interested, and I hope you would be, I will get back to you regardless after I've heard back from Sue, and I will let you know. Probably you would get in touch. I will give you the emails for Sue and Matt, whom you probably already have, and you would let them know that you would like to be an official sponsor.
What does that entail?
I'm sorry, what?
What does it entail to be a sponsor?
It doesn't entail anything. I mean, you're endorsing the idea.
Endorsing, in other words. Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to give them any money. I mean, sure, they'd like it, but you don't have to.
Okay. So they basically just want endorsers, right?
Yeah. They'd like the conference to have the imprimatur of basically a national conference, but DC 9/11 Truth has to do the legwork. So they are the lead sponsor, for sure.
Okay.
But it wasn't their idea. So it's interesting. The answer is yes.
Any other comments or questions?
Another quick one about just to clarify, the speakers that have been confirmed were just talking about Webster Tarpley, and was Kevin Barrett on that list?
I'm not comfortable giving you any names of confirmed speakers except for myself and Barry Kiffin at this time. And, of course, Matt. Matt is the moderator.
Right. No, I'm only talking about the ones that you said were confirmed and therefore were okay to tell us. I'm not asking for the ones that are, because you mentioned that Webster was confirmed and therefore you didn't mind us sort of.
I don't know that Webster is confirmed. That is my guess.
Oh, you don't?
So
I misunderstood.
No, I do not know that Webster is confirmed. The only ones that I know for certain are speaking are myself and Barry Kiffin, who I happen to be the person asked to invite Barry Kiffin. In other words, it's a kind of a compartmentalized thing. Nobody can do it all, and Sue Wheaton's leaving on vacation, so they divided up the invitations amongst all the people on the conference call. And I do not know the answers to any of the others, for sure.
Okay.
Yeah. So it wouldn't be good to write that up. It won't be long before you will know exactly who has agreed and what the conference program is. Because in the last call we had, there was somebody who was doing the website. I can't remember his name. John somebody. I never heard of him. Presumably he's with DC 9/11 Truth, I'm not sure. And he was on that call for the first time. I've been on about 3 calls, and he was on that last call about a week ago, about 10 days ago maybe. And he said that, they can't even do the website, and it's a catch-22. They're not going to put the website out until they have the program with confirmed speakers.
Oh, so the program itself is not even confirmed yet, right?
No, it can't be.
Okay.
It can't be confirmed until we know if there's even one speaker for that proposed topic.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. It's very much, I'm giving you a work in progress snapshot.
Right. Well, we appreciate that, Barbara, and, you know, we'll respect the confidentiality of this until it's confirmed, for sure.
Yeah, I'm giving you the overview of the topics that we would hope will be covered, and letting you know that the speakers that, and it was a big deal coming up with the speakers. Oh my goodness, it was a bit. I mean, different. In a very small group of people, there were. We said some people said, yeah, I really want that speaker, and other people in the very small group said, oh, we can't possibly have that speaker. So it was amazing to see the fracturing of opinion within
To paraphrase Fidel Castro, whenever you find two 9/11 truthers, you're going to find three opinions. Okay.
or at least. I know, but the speaker list that we came up with, that I've got the proposed program, that then Sue Wheaton divided up who would be asked to invite who, and that's the process that we're now in for this week that I'm speaking to you. So I don't know who said yes and who said no, but I am going to get to Sue anyway and say, can you give those of us on the call an update? So at least I will have, and I will ask her, and then I will CC George Ripley and Matt Sullivan and Elaine Sullivan, and give them your feedback and let them know I've been on the call. And that I've given them the general overview of the topics only, the proposed topics only, and, the venue and that kind of general information. And your fact about the ticket price. And I could ask the question, if you'd like, do they think that people from out of town might be able to be put up in the homes of 9/11 truth people in the D.C.
Yeah.
area?
Yeah.
Would you like me
I
to
think
do
that's
that?
Pretty relevant. Yes, please. I think that would be a very relevant question.
Yeah.
And I think, Craig, the word proposed would be very good in the minutes in front of anything that is reported at this point.
Yeah. I want to clarify one thing. Since the word confidentiality was mentioned, given that this is on the call, which is accessible to anyone, is there a problem? I'm not saying I'm planning this, but is there a problem with saying here are some of the proposed sort of topics being discussed? This isn't literally confidential.
Well,
it's
not really anybody who can go on. As I understand it, it's anyone who is on the list of the email list who can listen.
No, anybody can go on. It can.
Well, they could if they have the URL. We don't have the URL. Look,
Craig. Craig, you're a free spirit. You can do what you want, but it's my request that you wait until we have a program. It's not going to be very long.
Well,
Barbara, he can state the following topics that have been proposed for this conference, right, without saying, okay. So as long as you couch it that way,
yes, what I would do is mention only the topics and not anything about inviting speakers at this point. Because quite frankly, if none of the other speakers come, we're not even going to have a conference, right?
It's all fairly tentative, but there have been formulations of topics that have been proposed.
Yes, exactly. So I've got a list here that Jim Douglas is of what to propose. Jim Douglas is a possible backup. The ticket price recommended max $100 for the 2 days, $60, a little bit more than half for a single day. And asked, will it be possible to put up out-of-town movement chances in homes of 9/11 truthers in the area. Anything else?
Within the framework of speculation, has the name John McMurtry been thrown around at all as being somebody to be considered as a speaker, or no?
You know, I'm not going to answer those questions at this point, because if I give you a yes or no, I'll just say I won't confirm or deny. But I honestly don't want to say that that's either way. Honestly.
Well, then the reason I only asked is that I would suggest if he has not been considered, I strongly urge his consideration. The reason I ask is because I had mentioned before when we were first starting to talk about the conference, George, I was just hopeful that there had been a pursuit of his participation.
In other words, that would be a proposal as a backup for, and it would be a backup for what category?
Second conference on Sunday afternoon, the second part.
The JFK RFK one?
Or the one about fingerprints, okay? Men fingerprints and so forth, okay? That one.
McMurdy, I don't, forgive my ignorance, I don't know who McMurdy is. Has he written on 9/11?
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought you went to you were in Toronto. You were in Toronto, right?
Yes.
He presented there, I believe.
I was a speaker in Toronto.
I know, but he presented there.
Well, I missed his talk.
Okay.
What was his topic there?
I'm not sure which topic was there, but the piece that he's written in the meantime is called Ethical, something about the ethics of 9/11, deception of 9/11, or something along those lines.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Ethical deception. Ethics of official lying.
Yeah, kind of along those lines. I just don't remember the exact title. But the word ethic is in there somewhere, because he's a professor of philosophy. We don't have to follow. I was just taking consideration.
Let me just say that I've already mentioned to you that I am a peripheral person in this process. So I have to use my judgment as to what is the appropriate time to step in and make these, pass on this information. Because I don't feel comfortable being pushy about it. It's not my conscience. I'm a provider. But there will be an appropriate point in the not too distant future when all of us on the call receive a list of who has passed and who has been accepted or not. At that point, and that's when I will know if we have a hole in the conference. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
And I can do it. All right.
Any other discussion on this topic? Well, hearing none, I'd like to thank you, Barbara, for the valuable overview that you've given us and the update. And we wish the conference well, of course, and they would like the endorsement of the National True Teleconference. I don't think it would be too difficult to obtain, but that's just something else that we could throw out there at a later date.
Yeah, actually, would it be possible for me to propose that as an agenda item for next time?
Absolutely. Yes, you can do that now, and then it will automatically hit the still objection office and put it on the agenda for the next
Yeah, I it's a very garbled call at this point, so I don't know if I've heard an objection, but I would like to propose it as a, when you send out the proposed agenda, people will see it, and they will at least be able to think about it before the next call, and you can let me know on the next call before that would be fine by email, or a telephone call to let me know if you would like to go to the conference on behalf of your
either you or George will be on the call.
Yeah, George will probably be on the next call. I thought he was going to be on this one, actually.
What?
Okay.
I'm sorry? I didn't hear you, Barbara.
Well, I can't hear you. It's very garbled at this point. I can't hear anything.
I'm going to get out of the wind.
We need to disconnect, I think.
I'm having the same problem. I'm not hearing everyone.
The problem is, my guess is you're probably not hearing me, okay? I think the problem is with my headset in the wind here. So I apologize for that. That's just temporary. I should be solving
that was
the
problem. Minutes. That's much better. That's much better now. Yeah, so okay. I couldn't hear, but I'd like to propose that on the draft agenda for next time that people see before the next call would be, would you, you know, ask your groups if they would like to endorse the conference. By the next call, you will be able to see the conference program on the website.
Okay. Got that in. Okay. So we'll put out a draft agenda, and hopefully either you or George will be able to be here to motivate it, okay?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.
Thank you, Barbara.
Okay.
Well, I think that leaves three of us. Does anybody have anything left to discuss on any level, or have any announcements for the record?
Well, I guess the sound quality on my end of the call is not great at this point, so I probably won't propose anything.
Neither me.
Okay. Well, then I guess we'll curtail our call and. Thank you both for being here, and look forward to the minutes in the near future, Greg.
Okay, good night.
Thanks, Ken. Bye, Paul.
Yeah.
Good night.